All right, we've been talking about, and man, I put more time in this again this week, and the more time I put in it, the more confusing it gets, even for me. So hopefully we can make some sense of this. We're talking about heart. We're also talking about soul is involved, mind is involved. We defined the Greek word for heart as cardia. When you look at the English heart in the King James Bible, most of them come from cardia. The innermost center, this is one definition given, and I don't remember which, I guess this is Strong's. The innermost center of the natural condition of man, the center of bodily life. And then I mentioned, among other things, the heart contains the real man, the hidden man. Remember 1 Peter 3:4. Where Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. So it represents the true character of a person, but yet at the same time, it somewhat conceals it. So that's kind of, again. Then a Greek-English lexicon, which is kind of like a fancy dictionary, called Thayer's, Thayer's, it uses the Strong's numbering system. If you have a Strong's concordance, there are numbers. You can go to the back of the concordance, look up that number. It'll explain more. It talks about, of course, where that word is found everywhere in the Bible. Well, Thayer's goes along with that numbering system, but expounds on it a little bit more. It brings out more information. Here's the definition. Now, pay real close attention to this, because you're going to hear some words that might raise your eyebrows a little bit. The center and seat of spiritual life. So far, so good, right? Sounds about like Strong's. But then the next statement is the soul or mind. Remember I told you these words are sometimes used interchangeably in the Bible. Sometimes they're translated heart. Sometimes you'll see soul. And even though soul is a different word in the original language, in certain instances, it's defined the same as the heart. And then mind, we know the mind is different, but yet it's often it's defined the same way. So here we again, the center and seat of spiritual life, the soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors. And then he has in brackets, so in English, heart, comma, inner man. So again, it's hard to nail down. Okay, mind is this, soul is this, heart is this, and never the three shall meet. Well, they do meet and they get mixed up sometimes. And so it can be difficult. And then you go to different translations and they'll translate it. Some will say soul, some will say heart, some will say mind. That clears it up, doesn't it? All right, so we were looking at some of the usages of cardia in the New Testament. Remember, that is a Greek word. And what it denotes. We talked about the seat of physical life, the seat of moral nature and spiritual life, which would include the seat of grief, the seat of joy, the seat of desires, the seat of affections, the seat of perceptions, the seat of thoughts, the seat of understanding, the seat of reasoning powers. And then I've got a few more that we can add to the list this morning. The seat of imagination. In Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to read one verse. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 51. And this is Mary's, what's called the Magnificat. And she says this, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And so, and by the way, if you take the ESV, I think the ESV says thoughts. But let me make sure. Luke chapter 1 and verse 51. Yeah. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. So that's another use of cardia. Then the seat of conscience. The seat of conscience. Acts chapter 2, verse number 37. Acts 2, 37. And I think what I'm going to do is whatever we finish today, I'm not going to keep us bogged down in this, because I think, I don't know how much value it has beyond what we're going to look at today without really getting crazy into it. And then you're all going to say, why do I bother coming to Sunday school? This is crazy. But next week we'll start in Joshua, okay? No matter what. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse number 37. Now when they heard, this is Peter's sermon at Pentecost, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, literally pierced or stabbed. They were convicted and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So it was sudden and unexpected. They were stunned when they were pricked in their hearts. Some translations would have conscience. Conscience, of course, is not super dependable because it is tainted by sin. But no doubt they were pricked in their conscience. Then First John chapter 3 and verse number 20, for if our heart condemn us, and so again, that kind of goes along with conscience. If our conscience really bothers us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And if you kind of follow the context, the whole idea of the heart condemning here is because of a lack of love both for God and man, which causes doubt. But John writes, God forgives and God will give us assurance. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And then the seat of intentions. Hebrews 4:12, that great passage on the Word of God and what the Word of God accomplishes in the human heart. And it says a lot about the inner man, chapter 4, verse number 12. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's a living book. Powerful. So powerful, it's able through its power and the Holy Spirit to make us the children of God as we repent and put our faith and trust in Christ. Sharper than any two-edged sword, or sharper, some translations have sharper than any material. Piercing even to the dividing asunder, separating soul and spirit, the immaterial part of man, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart, which reminds us we can't fool God. We might fool man, we might even deceive ourselves, but not God. We must be layer free with God, as verse 13 talks about. Naked, open before Him. So God, through His Word, is a critic of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So our hearts come up with intentions, make choices. And if you compare that to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1, For as much then, or therefore, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, of course, dying on the cross, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Mind there is cardia. So see how it can be translated. Likewise with the same mind. And let me take that back. I'm not positive if mind there is cardia. I have to look that up. The point might be just the comparison between how out of the heart God, through the word of God, divides the thoughts and intents of the heart. And here we find the word mind. It could be psuche. I have to look it up. Likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, or is eternally free from sin through faith in Christ. And then the seat of purpose. Acts 11:23, the seat of purpose. So you can see how many ways the word heart is used. And the context will tell which of these fits. You say, man, it sounds complicated. When you really get serious about Bible study, it is. It is. It takes work, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour. But Acts 11, verse number 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Purpose of heart. Which means a real diligent effort. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and you'll recognize, I think, this verse. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 7. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart. So not a mere afterthought. It means really planning and determining to do something, to accomplish something. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here in verse 7. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, not under compulsion. For God loveth a cheerful giver, or one who gives from the heart. So this person made up his own mind, deciding in his own heart that he would give. Two more. The seat of the will. The seat of the will. Romans 6, verse number 17. Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, or wherein you were delivered. Obeyed from the heart that form. It's a word for mold, used to hold and form molten metal. God pours his children into the mold of divine truth. Obey from the heart. Can't do it without the Spirit of God, the transforming power of the Word of God. Then Colossians 3, verse number 15. Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule as umpire. We have peace in our hearts. It's because we've made peace through the blood of Christ. We have peace in Christ. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So that's the will. And then last is faith, the seat of faith. Since I'm closer to Hebrews, I'm going to go do the Hebrews one first here. Hebrews chapter 3. and verse number 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. And that's talking about apostasy, of course, a final turning away from Christ. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Then Mark chapter 11, verse 23, is that the passage that says, have faith in God? I can't remember. Mark 3 and verse, no, I'm sorry, Mark 11, 23. I read that and said, man, that doesn't look right to me. 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, no wavering in the heart. So the heart can lack faith, the heart can waver in faith, be unstable, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And of course, the idea is God can remove even the largest and most imposing obstacle. It would seem impossible, but not to God, because nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't mean that everything we ask for automatically, without any reservation, God's going to do it. Obviously, if I look out at the mountains and say, be thou removed, and I'm doing it just to, for no real reason, no spiritual reason. The point is that God said, look, if you need something and you're on praying grounds and you know Christ is Savior and Lord and you ask him, he will do it. If you had something you want to say, you look like you had a thought. No? But you had a thought though, didn't you?
I did.
All right, last one, Romans 10:10. Romans 10. You know Romans 10:9, right? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know it doesn't say Jesus is Lord in the KJV, but that's what it means. It says, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. And then it's explained in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Openly confessing without shame. And so the order of verse 9 is stated in verse number 10. All right, any questions or comments about all of those various explanations of cardia and how it's used in the New Testament? That's just a handful. There are many, 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 many times it's used in the New Testament. All right, what about the Old Testament? The main word, and there are several words in the Old Testament, but the main word and forms of this word is, and this is the English version of it, L-E-B, leb. That's the Hebrew. I can't write the Hebrew. L-E-B. That's the main word used in the Old Testament. And the way heart is described or defined in the Old Testament is like this. The moral significance of heart in the Old Testament, and it's similar to the New, includes the emotions, the reason, and the will, or you could say the intellect. Emotions, intellect, or reason, and the will. The moral significance of heart in the Old Testament includes the emotions, the intellect, or reason, and the will. Now, look at Job. Look at Job chapter 38. And we've got some interesting things we want to point out here as we look at this word leb. I don't know if it's leb or lieb. Job 38:36, we read, "Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart?" Now, if you go to the ESV, English Standard Version, it translates heart, that we see here in verse 38 in the KJV, as mind. Mind. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the mind? So you see, a heart and mind can be used. Bless you. In Genesis chapter 6, when God had already had enough of man and his evil wickedness, and he's going to destroy the earth with a flood. In Genesis 6:5-6, we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord," which doesn't mean God thought he made a mistake. It means God changed his mind. He had a change in divine direction because of the wickedness of man. "Repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." That's lieb or leb. Leb. And then Deuteronomy, I thought it'd be fun to go back to Deuteronomy. Don't you miss it? I know you do. We spent so much of our lives there. Deuteronomy 28, verse 65, "And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart." A trembling heart. "And failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life." And I don't know why I read that, because that's not the right verses. But I enjoyed reading them. No, that's the right verse. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong place in my notes. 28:65, then 29:4. 29:4. I have a lot of verses written down. We're not going to look at all. 29:4, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive or understand, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day." So they were lacking spiritual understanding, and by the way, Israel still is. Verse 19, same chapter, verse 19, and it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart. Curse there is sworn covenant, saying, "I shall have peace, I will be safe, though I walk in the imagination or the stubbornness of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst." And so that would be somebody that thinks they're doing just fine and actually they're not. And then a verse we're very familiar, two verses we're very familiar with in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is the Shema. They used to repeat this often. It was taught to the children as well. "Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, that's not leb or lieb. That is I-E-B-A-B. I don't know how you pronounce that. Ebab, Ibab, Ebab. It's just one example of that word. So that's a different word for heart. And then in Daniel, and we're not going to turn there for sake of time. There's a couple things I want to share beyond this. But there's another word, L-E-B-A-B. Libab. And you find that in various, actually this one is only Daniel 4:16, Daniel 5:20-22. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal, like a cow, went out and grazed for 7 years? Remember that? Because he was filled with pride, took credit for what God, only God could do. Eventually, I believe he was converted. And then his grandson, Belshazzar, of course, he messed up big time. And Babylon fell. But these passages in Daniel talk about God changing his heart from a man to thinking like an animal. And obviously the mind would be involved in that too, would it not? So without turning there, you can read those on your own if you'd like. I think I mentioned the word psuche. It's P-S-U-C-H-E, which is the word for soul or life. In Ephesians 6:6, it's actually translated heart. So again, it just adds to the confusion because the words are so often used interchangeably. So when Fred asked about heart and mind, and we were talking about it, and I told him that these words are so often used one for another that it makes it very difficult to specifically define them without the context of the passage that it's found in. But in chapter 6, verse 6 of Ephesians, not with eye service as men please, talking about servants, slaves in the Old Testament, or in the Bible days, but as the servants of Christ, no matter if we have an employer that we work for, don't do it with eye service, in other words, doing good only when we're watched, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, or with all of our hearts we are to serve, we are to work, giving it our best. But that's the word heart there is psuche. It could be translated soul or life. With all of our souls, with all of our life. KJV sometimes uses bowels, and there's actual Hebrew word bowels as well, and it's translated heart, because it's the inner part of the innermost part of the man. We know that hearts can be hardened, like Pharaoh's heart was hardened. They can also be softened, Ezekiel 36:26. All right, one more real quick here. This is some stuff I put together this week, and it's about soul. Old Testament word for soul is anglicized, N-E-P-E-S-H, nepesh, or nepesh. Old Testament word for soul, nepesh. That is also sometimes translated heart. So you read the KJV or whatever translation, you come across heart, and you assume it's leb or lib or lalib or ilib. And it could very well be the Hebrew word nepesh. So you either learn Hebrew, which I know about as much Hebrew as I know the word kosher. It's about as Hebrew as I get. I don't know a lot of Hebrew. I know a little bit more Greek, but not enough, just enough to be dangerous. But the Greek word for soul is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, psuche. Nepesh could be translated breathing or a breathing creature. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament use of the word for soul Also applies to animals. You'll see it used for animals, even though animals are not, are certainly not human beings, and they're not on equal ground with human beings. They do have a consciousness. They have an awareness. They certainly don't have the brain power of a human being. So it can be used of an animal as well. Suke generally isn't. Basically means breath or life or a living being. You know, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, right? So napish, soul or breathing, could refer not only to the entire inner nature of man, but also his entire personality. So you see how similar that is to how we define heart. Soul and heart. For example, all that pertains to the person of man in the sense of person, thinking of the word somebody or everybody. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, 16, we find both heart and soul together. Matter of fact, that one I'm going to look at. We're almost finished. I'm not going to handle this as detailed as I intended originally. But I think we've made our point. What do you think? This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Remember what Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. In Joshua 11, we'll see this when we get to the study of Joshua. Joshua 11, 11 and verse 14 talks about Joshua so and the armies of Israel so decimating a country or countries that none were left to breathe. They had no breath, no napish is the word. In the New Testament, suke, that in which there is life, a living being, like 1 Corinthians 15:45. You can write that down. Also speaks of every soul, everyone, with every and one separated, not like everyone, like a whole group, but each individual person is a living soul. And like heart, it can also have the meaning of the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, aversions, and you could, in parentheses, I have next to that our soul, heart, etc. This is exactly how it's written out in, and I'm trying to think of the book, Vine's Expository Dictionary of New and Old Testament Words, says it can have the meaning of the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, aversions. The soul can attain its highest end and secure eternal blessedness if we follow what God says regarding salvation. The soul regarded as a moral being designed for everlasting life. John wrote in 3 John verse 2, he said, I wish that you would prosper as your soul prospers. Hebrews 13:17 would be another verse you can write down. Hebrews 13:17. James 1:21, James 5:20, and then one more, 1 Peter 1:9. Suke, and this is the last thing, suke can also mean the soul as an essence that differs from the body and is not dissolved in death. Different from the body and not dissolved in death. The soul freed from the body, a disembodied soul. Acts 2:27, Revelation 20:4. Any questions that I can answer? So you get the overlap. No clear cut, easy. Soul is this, heart is this, mind is this. They kind of just flow together. Context is the key. All right, we're going to get in Joshua next Sunday. Don't miss it. First day of a brand new book. You don't want to miss the introduction to the book. It lays the foundation for the whole study. If you want to go over more of this soul, mind, heart stuff, it will be online tomorrow sometime. It takes a while because my internet is horrible. And I had such good news. I called Frontier a good while ago, 3, 4, 5 months ago. I don't remember exactly. And they said, you know what? By the end of May, the latest, you are going to have fiber optic. I said, man, that's fantastic. And so now I checked with a friend of mine I got that works at Frontier. And he said something happened, something went wrong. And that's been put on hold. So you heard about all the millions of dollars that have been put into West Virginia. Maybe it might even be more than millions. It might be up to a bit. I don't remember. But a lot of money put in to get the internet throughout the state. If you read about that in the paper. Well, I checked online to see where I stood. And they had me categorized as you already got it. So my little 5 megabytes or 6 megabytes a sec is supposed to suffice. So I guess I've got what I'm going to get as of today. So, but anyway, I said all that to say this. It will be online sometime. Pray for the church, corruption in America. It's everywhere. Pray, and the way I pray is, Lord, reveal it. Get it out in the open so people can see it. Voters can see it. Corruption. Ukraine situation there, much worse than what we are being told. The deep state wants to continue to pour money there because they love war, because they get rich from war. And Ukraine is being decimated. The news makes it sound like they're on the brink of winning the war. Not even close. 400,000 Ukrainians have been killed. Let that sink in. 400,000. You know how many Russians? Maybe 60,000. Is that what you hear in the news? Got that? You say, where'd you get that from? A general that would know. I forget his name. Pray for the situation in Maui. And of course, now there was a hurricane in Florida. I want you to notice the difference in response between Republican administration and a Democrat. You compare the aftermath of the and the events leading up to the hurricane, and then the events leading up to the fire, and what happened. Did you know there was one route that people could take to get away from that fire, and the government blocked it? And then, you know what puts fires out? What puts fires out, among other things? Water does, yeah. Well, they couldn't get water because the guy that runs, I don't know what department it would be, but he's one that kind of worships, he treats water as a god. And so by the time they made the decision, he decided, yeah, okay, you can use some of my god. It was too late. That's why you read about people burning in whole families in their cars, totally ashes, or, you know, sitting there skeletons because they couldn't get out. They were blocking them. Check it out. Missionaries, pray for our missionaries. Mark and his health. Bill and his kidneys. He got a good a report as he could get, barring God actually doing a complete healing of his kidneys. Pray for Lori. She had a fall last Sunday. God intervened. She got hurt a little bit, but man, she could have really been hurt.
And I also taken my last chemo pill last night, so I'm cancer free.
Amen. Amen. That's an answer to prayer. Missy Nixon, continue to pray for her. My daughter Michelle, They got a heart monitor trying to figure out what's going on. They haven't found any real issues yet. Told her to stop drinking coffee. I said, they've been telling me that for years. The only reason I'm still alive is because Jesus and coffee. Bill Nicholson, Marion Leonard's continued health and strength. The Butlers, they doubted whether they'd be back today. Remember, they went on a business slash vacation on the western end of West Virginia somewhere. I forget the name of the town. But they doubted whether they'd be back. Pray for their safe return. He had training, and then the family went along, kind of made a vacation out of it. Continue to pray for Brody. So far, so good. He's got some appointments coming up. That's Gary and Kathy's great-grandson. Judy Shade, supposed to have further tests at Johns Hopkins. Debbie Payne, a sister of a workmate of Rebecca, found out she had cancer. And within a very, very brief period of time, she ended up getting pneumonia, went in the hospital. Turns out she had esophageal cancer, and she passed away just in her 40s and went very, very quickly. Marie Baker had knee replacement surgery on Monday. Everything went really well. Diane Eisenbaugh, car accident. I don't know. Did somebody here put that down? Somebody here? Doesn't look like Annadale's writing, but pray for Diane Eisenbaugh. And then Fred and Annadale are traveling. They're suffering for Jesus at the beach. Pray for. Did Michael leave? I don't see Michael.
His stuff's still there.
Oh, good. He probably had to go to the bathroom. I was going to say I didn't get to say goodbye. I thought maybe. I was going to ask him about Sherry, whether she went along. Anybody know? All right, let's stand together, have a word of prayer. Ronnie, good to see you, Ronnie. I talked to Ronnie yesterday. He said he wasn't going to be able to make it today. You said you weren't going to be here today. You had a family thingy.
Yeah, but it's been delayed a couple hours.
Excellent.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank the Lord.
Look at that, up and around. Looks fit as a fiddle. He broke his hip and... Of course, he's got that back that's been...
testimony.
You aren't kidding. Well, they kind of had you in the hospital a couple of years ago and basically figured that was it.
Yeah.
All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the life he gives us through repentance and faith. We thank you, Lord, for those that are here. We got a lot of our folks traveling today, a holiday weekend, and we pray that you would bless our time together. Though the numbers are small, we thank you. You're in our midst. You love us, and you got something for us. We pray, Lord, for those we called out to you that have physical needs. We pray for healing for them. Those that have upcoming tests, that you would guide the doctors, give them wisdom. We know that you can heal apart from any of this. We ask, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of our leaders as our nation continues to go further and further down. Morally, spiritually, God, please bring us back. And Lord, forgive our sin, heal our land, and send revival that we desperately need. So Lord, meet with us, encourage our hearts, challenge our faith, make us stronger in Christ, and draw that one that is unsaved to the Savior this morning.